You're listening to Midnight Harmony. I'm E.W. Helmick. Midnight Harmony is a partner of the ministry Help World Tour and is made possible by your donation and support. Help World Tour is a global ministry that helps people make Jesus a part of their story. You can find more information about tent revivals, ministries around the world, and their motion picture, Take Your Dream, on their website, www.helpwt.com. In the Islamic Republic of Iran, the strict application of Sharia law calls for severe persecution for anyone who converts to Christianity. Yet steadily, people are risking their lives in allegiance to Jesus Christ. To become an apostate of Islam is extremely costly, and there are plenty of documented cases of rape, imprisonment, and torture of those brave enough to follow their convictions. Yet the church in Iran has become the fastest growing in the world. Recently, a friend told me the story of an Iranian couple who managed to emigrate to the USA. It was their ticket to safety in the land of the free. Of course, they seized the opportunity, yet after living in the USA for a while, the wife said to her husband, "Please, take me back to Iran. There is a satanic lullaby in this nation. All the Christians are asleep, and I feel myself falling asleep." Recently, I was asked to preach in a church in my area. Generally, I prefer to sit with my wife during speaking engagements, and so we were seated two rows from the front of the church. When it was time for me to deliver the message, I arose and approached the pulpit on stage. Only then did I realize the entire congregation of about 60 or 70 persons were all sitting in the back of the church. Literally every attendee was in the last 5 to 6 rows, leaving 8 rows completely empty from side to side at the front. Here was a perfect example of a people that have grown apathetic and complacent with their Christian walk. Only after I had spoken and left the church did I wonder what would have happened if I had refused to deliver my message until the entire congregation had gotten up from their seats and moved to the front of the church. Perhaps nothing. Perhaps it would have been an arrogant persuasion on my part, or perhaps it would have been a prophetic act of faith in action as parishioners eagerly responded to and invited the power of the Spirit over their lives. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them," Ephesians 5:10 tells us, and goes on to say, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So it is with this illustration in the back of my mind and the haunting words of a young Iranian woman converted to Christ that I ask you, have you fallen asleep listening to Satan's lullaby? Where are you now? Where did you spend your day? How did you spend your time? Sitting in front of the television hour upon hour, lethargically poised with a mobile phone in your grasp, staring at social media. Shopping online for products and gifts for yourself that in a week or two will only be a sad reminder you spent money you don't have. Arguing with your spouse, your children, or your neighbor. Gossiping with friends with full knowledge somewhere someone is gossiping about you. Asleep because the hours you are awake are too painful to bear. Lonely because you've let the enemy convince you you are alone. Have you abandoned your dreams? Have you lost hope? Have you entertained the idea of suicide? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you have tuned into the lies, shadows, and the lullaby of Satan. You have become like many Christians today who hold on to their faith for an eternal salvation while ignoring the commands of Christ today. Love God with all your soul, heart, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Romans 13:11. And in Revelation 3:1 through 2 we read, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. We must wake ourselves, our families, and our neighbors. I want to encourage you. Lift your eyes from the floor, from the darkness, from the shadows, and look heavenward to your Holy Father. His face shines with love for you. For the Lord makes his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Numbers 6:25. His Spirit brings mercy and grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. His hand sustains you. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Psalms 55:22. And my favorite, his voice sings over you. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3:17. Simply shifting your ears from Satan's lullaby to God's lullaby isn't easy if we've become complacent, living a life centered around our own cares and worldly things. But it is not impossible. I can tell you with bold affirmation, the best way to tune into God is to serve someone else. You don't have to wait until morning light. In fact, I urge you to make a plan right now to turn off Satan's lullaby and tune into God by serving others. When you shift the focus from your pain, your suffering, your loneliness, and your broken dreams, and what feels like a hopeless existence, and place your hands on someone else, you open the door for great things to happen. Here is a list of things you can do and should do without hesitation to break the spinning LP of dread in your life and replace it with a joyful song of thanksgiving. Wash your spouse's or child's car. Cook a meal for a neighbor. Shuttle a neighbor to a doctor or grocery store. Volunteer for an hour or two in your church. Knock on a neighbor's door and introduce yourself and pray for them. Visit a nursing home and pray with the elderly and sick. Serve a meal at your local homeless shelter. Sit and talk with a homeless individual. If you have the means, give money to a family in need. I could go on and on all night with ways you can put aside your needs and serve someone else's. But I think you understand the point I am trying to make. Your suffering and needs may equate to something much greater than someone else's, or so it may seem, until that is, you step into their shoes and feel their pain. Until you sing over them with the Lord's joy and words and break the chain of Satan's lullaby. While serving in missions in other countries, my wife and I have had many opportunities to serve others, and I can tell you there are always great rewards. In Byron Bay, Australia, we joined with Youth with a Mission serving hamburgers at the local park. The burgers were served free of charge along with delicious grilled onions. It makes my mouth water just thinking of it now. Byron Bay is a destination point for backpackers from all over the world, which opened a door of conversation with just about every person that attended the barbecue in the park. We saw many people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and had the opportunity to pray with numerous others. In Auckland, New Zealand, we partnered with a group that served soup downtown once a week. Standing on the street, we welcomed many walks of life, including homeless people who were desperate for something to eat. On one such occasion, I met a bearded man named Moses. Moses didn't speak much and left more soup on his beard than he was able to put in his mouth from a shaking hand, but I sat with him a long while as he ate. After a time, Moses looked up at me and our eyes locked stares. His were sad as he plainly said, "I have to go now. Thank you for feeding me." Moses rose and departed. I sat and my heart broke. Tears streamed down my face. I was saddened that there was nothing more I could do for this man. Then suddenly, I had an idea. Grabbing my journal, which I always carried with me on nights like this, I tore out a page and scribbled a few sentences. Jumping to my feet, I chased after Moses, but could not find him anywhere on the streets of downtown Auckland. Suddenly, I was in a panic. My heart pounded in my chest and tears streamed down my face. I had to find this man. I had to find Moses. A bicycle taxi passed and I recognized the young woman driving the taxi. She had stopped at the soup station earlier and shared her own testimony. Her and I had exchanged a few brief words and she said she knew Moses as a familiar face on the streets. I knew she would know where he might have gone. I chased after her, but her on a bike and me running, I was barely a match to keep up. Street after street, corner after corner, I ran after her, calling for her to stop, but to no avail. I stopped and gasped for a breath. "Please, God, I must find Moses," I pleaded. Regaining my composure, I started running again. I had nearly caught up with the girl on the taxi bicycle and was about to call out her name when she turned around the corner. I ran hard and, turning the corner too, suddenly stopped. She was nowhere to be found, nowhere in sight. But there, just a few paces away, sat Moses, alone on a bench, his head hung in silence. I stumbled forward and sat next to him. He looked up at me and smiled a frail, gentle smile. I reached forward, took his hand, and placed the note I had written along with a few crumpled bills. He shifted his stare from me to his hand and then back again. I couldn't speak with a lump in my throat, but I didn't have to. Moses' eyes said it all. I rose and walked away, confident that I had done everything I could do for this gentle giant of a man. I paused at the corner and looked back to see Moses folding my note and slipping it into his overcoat. He seemed very alone, very, very forsaken. But I knew better. I let the words I had written run through my mind as I walked away. "Moses, my friend, I don't know your story. I don't know what has happened to you or why you're alone on the streets. I am certain, however, that God knows you and your situation. I am also certain that He loves you. I can't do anything more for you, but if you will simply look to God and ask Him to save you, He will answer. I promise." From Garangapee Road, around the corner to Grafton Gully, to the bustling fervor of Queen Street, a haunting melody has deceitfully been orchestrated on the streets of Auckland and cities all over the earth by the prince of this world. But if one will pause and listen, if one will take time to look into the eyes of a stranger, a neighbor, another human being, just long enough to see your own reflection, something spectacular will happen. Our sorrows will fade, and our courage will rise, and a new melody will begin to play. Large cities and small, people great and simple, must rise to the call of serving one another, helping one another, finding good in your neighbor, your spouse, your children, the ugly, the dirty, the sinner, the saint, the lost, the lonely, and the hopeless. If we find the courage to stand again and fight for another life, we will hear this new melody, a melody filled with hope, charm, laughter, beauty, kindness, and genuine love. It is the melody of Jesus, and it is a sweetness to all who stop and listen. I pray for my friend Moses in our brief encounter. I pray he has heard the melody of Christ, and I pray I will one day see him again, when we sit together again on a park bench, surrounded by angels who desire to hear the tale of our encounter on the streets of Auckland. Encounter someone tonight for the sake of heaven and the glory of God. If tonight is too late, then make earnest plans for first thing in the morning to encounter someone you meet in a godly and glorious manner. The melody is new. The melody is fresh. The melody is for you, my friend. A blessed good night.
Interstellar, your cellular, you comprehend our complex.
From earthquaking to hearts breaking, you care for our condition. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Heart to heart, you speak to me.